This is Bigger Pockets Daily, expert advice for real estate investors. If you like what you hear, check out biggerpockets.com. I think you'll find a warm, welcoming community, a wealth of data to help you make the best decisions, and calculators to help you analyze deals. We make the blog articles available on this show so you can absorb the information while you're organizing the garage or remodeling your bathroom on this Saturday. Okay, almost time for the show. We'll get right into it after this quick break.
This show is sponsored by Airbnb. Did you know that a long time ago, before I ever started my real estate business, I turned one of my first primary residences into an Airbnb? And that's the extra income that I needed from Airbnb that gave me the confidence to go out and work for myself and eventually quit my 9-to-5 job. And now I have dozens of Airbnbs all over the country. I've even partnered up with the old David Green on a recent property in Scottsdale to take our portfolio to the next level. And of course, we host it on Airbnb. But you don't need to be a full-time real estate investor to start on Airbnb. As a matter of fact, I was self-managing 10 properties while working my 9-to-5 job, so I know anybody can do it. Think about it this way. You're looking for extra income and going on a vacation. Wouldn't it be great to rent out your space and let your property pay for itself while you're gone? I did this one time. I pitched my wife and my roommate, because we were house hacking, on the idea of renting out our home, and it paid for all of our expenses on a trip to Mexico City. So go and give it a try. It might just change your life, just like it did mine. And I really do mean that. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you can make sure your ride stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED lights, exhaust kits, turbochargers, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I used to think all U.S. markets were too high. Until I started investing in this city, by Ben Leibovich. Do you hear yelling? The market is too hot. Oh no, we are at the top. Oh no, it's a bubble. Too late to buy. It's a bubble. Best wait for the crash. A few years ago, these same voices were yelling. There is no money. No one is lending. Oh no. So many good deals, but I can't get any money. I'll just wait for the market to improve. Maybe there's just some people that are better at yelling than buying. Or maybe they just like the sound of their own voice. Or maybe they've always known that they lack the intestinal fortitude to act. And all of that yelling from before simply just made them feel as though they are participants in the marketplace, while in reality they are constantly looking for excuses to stay on the sidelines. Whatever the reason, the market is never good enough for some. The thing is, however, those of us who wanted to buy back in 2009... found a way to buy, and those who want to buy today just find a way to buy today. There's an obvious caveat, though. If no one wants to lend, what kind of deal does it take to attract money? A really freaking good deal, actually. If the market is hot, what kind of deal should you buy? A really good one. So, you see, the rules have just never really changed. All along, what it takes to play the game is a much better than average deal. The rest of the pieces fall into place. So, perhaps the loud voices are simply indicative of folks not having enough chutzpah to source a good enough deal. I was one of the naysayers. For a long time, it was truly difficult for me to wrap my head around the pricing. I was in Ohio at the time, but seeing people deploy us at a 7% cap rate gave me nightmares. I thought they were stupid. And then they weren't stupid. Because all through 2013, 14, 15, 16, etc., people made a killing. I like to think of myself as a reasonable person, but at some point, seeing the reality on the ground, I realized I was missing something. So what changed my mind? Well, for one thing, I relocated from Ohio to Arizona. You'd be amazed how this changed my perspective. Seeing the way things are in the Southwest, the jobs, the infrastructure, the population growth had an effect. I understood why so many people were so bullish on America, and I understood how that thinking impacted their investment decisions. Additionally, once I removed myself from the Midwest, I was able to draw parallels, which brought things into focus for me even more. The fact that brokers were telling me that product is moving in Cincinnati at a 5.5% cap rate with virtually no value add still amazes me. Cincinnati is a really nice town, but it ain't no Phoenix for many reasons. That kind of thing really makes you think. That said, I can very happily look at the right kind of 5% cap rate and sleep extremely well at night. In fact, a 98 unit we bought about a year ago on in-place financials was indeed a 5% cap rate. On a good month. So, where am I getting the peace to deploy millions of partner capital at 5% cap rate? Number one, it's in a serious growth market. So Phoenix MSA has been one of the top growth markets in the country for the past few years, and it's the fifth largest city right now. Maricopa County is the number one fastest growing county in the country for several years. Finally, the asset is in the path of serious gentrification and capital improvements. I wouldn't do it in the Midwest, but I will in Phoenix. Number two, it's value add. An important distinction here is that we are not coupon investors. We never, ever buy turnkey. Therefore, we are less concerned with the in-place cap rate and much more concerned with the cap rate after the repositioning. Number three, market rents are too low. So this is where the benefit of recent exposure to various markets comes into play. According to people who research this stuff, Phoenix was below the national average apartment rent in the U.S. for quite some time now. So you ask, why are people paying more to live in Ohio than they are in Arizona? And is this trend sustainable, considering Phoenix population is growing while the Midwest is not? Under these circumstances, even just reaching the national average constitutes a 25% improvement to the top line, all of which flows through the NOI. What is currently a 5% cap rate becomes a 6.25% cap rate just by reaching the national average on rents. So the question becomes, is it reasonable to believe that Phoenix is capable of reaching the national averages as it relates to rents? A different way of asking this question could be, if you had to pay $1,300 for rent in Cincinnati or Phoenix, which one would you choose? If you don't say Phoenix, I've got nothing more to say to you. Well, anyhow, while some may disagree, more agree, which is why our population growth is what it is. Number four, but seriously, it's a value add. So with all of this said, a 25% value add program, and you go from a 5% cap rate in Y1 to an 8.3% cap rate in year three. That delta is where we make money, ladies and gents. Because even after we inflate cap rates in the future, which we do, there is still enough meat on the bone for yours truly to sleep well at night. Let's say you're not convinced. Let's say you've decided that the market's just a little bit too high right now, you need to sit it out. So who's going to let you in that game? Brokers representing sellers who need to get out in a recessionary environment, hello, we're knocking on the door here, will call those buyers who have a track record of closing deals. But that's not you. You haven't been closing. I realized this in about 2015, but prior to that, the last deal I bought was in 13, and back then I already thought the prices seemed a little too high. So I sat on the sidelines. And then I realized, if I stay on the sidelines until the next recession, we're almost there, I may not be able to find my way back into the game, which meant I needed to sharpen the sword. So the conclusion? Fundamentally, here are the bullet points. I'm bullish on America, specifically the Southwest. I want to be ready to deploy big when the recession does happen, and it will. That means I have to be a buyer today. Deals that are worth doing have always been better than average deals. Sharpen your sword, you can still find deals. Some markets are a whole lot better than others. All right, that's it for this show, but remember, we have a whole library of episodes with timeless information about how to grow your real estate portfolio so you can enjoy the life you were meant to live. Just tap all episodes in your podcast app or scroll back in the feed to check out an older but still evergreen show. Otherwise, dear listener, until tomorrow.